Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
My pointer. Well, hello, brains. You are on the edge with April Mahoney and Sherry Gazit. We're going to talk about all things tweenagers and teenagers. They're going through a lot. And I'm running this whole series on everything from education to learning to test taking to self-esteem and a whole lot more. And she is a subject matter expert, being a super mama. And she has walked the walk and she is talking the talk. But she's talking to parents and she's talking to young teenage girls about self-esteem and really what that takes and what that looks like in the 21st century, 2021. Everything has changed. It's topsy-turvy. So how can we position ourselves as parents to best facilitate and coordinate with our children so that they have a happy, healthy life? Wouldn't you agree, Sherry?
Yes, it has changed from when we were younger, and it's a different parenting age.
Absolutely. So share with my brains a little bit about your experience and your history.
So my most important experience is that I'm the mom to three. My kids are currently 18, 21, and 23. So I've almost survived the teenage years. We're, you know, at the tail end of that. And then beyond that, I have a master's degree in counseling psychology and my, you know, bachelor's as well. And lots of research. I started out in the neuropsych field, and it just stuck with me that the data and the science is important, even in raising our kids. And as my career path went, you know, all these winding directions, but it kept leading me back to my passion, which is working with teen girls and tween girls. So I started out really doing a lot of this work for the Women's Sports Foundation with their Go Girl Go program. And after that, the funding ran out and I was like, I've got to take the leap and I've got to just dive in and create my own business so I can make sure that I am helping as many parents and teens as possible.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. You know, so many children establish the imposter syndrome at a very early age. People think that that happens as you morph into adulthood, but it's not. It really starts in your formative years with body image, with peer pressure, with now social media, with anxiety, with disapproval from your parents, judgment, what they think you should be doing. Well, parents, here's a newsflash. You know, I love to give you a newsflash. Your child's life is not your life. Yes. You cannot relive your life vicariously through your children. You can give them your experience and your wisdom, but you cannot live their life. Tell us a little bit about your experience with those things.
Yeah, so let's start with this idea of imposter syndrome, because you're right. It doesn't just start all of a sudden when you're adult. And you work with a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, they all seems like this imposter syndrome creeps up. Like if people only knew who I really was, they wouldn't believe my, you know, what I'm trying to teach them. They wouldn't like me anymore. They would criticize me. I've got to stay small so that nobody finds out who I really am. And if we take that and we look at adolescents, they're going through that all the time. And there's a big piece of it that happens, especially with social media now, like you mentioned, you know, they are, when they're changing from fifth grade to like eighth grade, their body changes, the way they think about the world changes, and they've got
their mouth changes. Sorry. The mouth changes.
Yes, everything changes. And then they've got the social media platform that they're comparing themselves to as these changes are occurring. So when you and I went through puberty, for instance, we weren't looking at Instagram thinking, oh, but I don't look like her, you know. We had our peers, but now that our kids can see the whole world, it adds so much more to that imposter syndrome. But then there's also that piece, like you're saying, like the parents, this is their life, not yours. So our kids kind of do lead these two different lives where it's, this is what I want my parents to see, and this is who I really am. And I talk to a lot of kids that say they don't feel like they can really be themselves with their parents. And so I think that's kind of where it gets started is, okay, I have to be this person for my parents. This is who I am. And if they found out who I really am, they wouldn't love me anymore.
Well, you know, the thing about it is also is that, you know, our parents lived a different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They walked 40 miles in the snow. And right. They came home. They were latchkey kids. They were able to walk to school. You know, they used the telephone. We actually communicated with one another. Everything has changed. And it became a point where us as parents really changed our parenting style, allowing more freedom, allowing more choices, more options. Oh, honey, you don't have to eat your peas if you don't like them. You know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Well, I'm not here to negotiate.
Yeah.
I'm here to be flexible. I'm not here to be your best friend. I'm here to be your parent, you know, and it's a different role. Now, I want to be friendly. I want to be kind. I want to be understanding, and I want to be a good listener. But we're not on the same level. And a lot of people got that confused. And, you know, kids will say, well, if you hit me, I'll call the police. Well, I'm that parent that'll tell you to call the police and hand me the phone.
Right.
Call their bluff. You got it. Yeah. Well, if you think you got it better on the outside and all that mouthing off, you know, we didn't do that as kids. We learned to listen. What is it like now in the environment? Are we negotiating? Are we bartering? Are we taking orders? Where are we as parents?
So I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding with the idea that we can talk to our kids, right? It all of a sudden became they're in control. It kind of swung way to the other side. But what our kids actually need is for us to set guidelines and be the parent, be the adult, be the, you know, primary decision maker, but also talk to them more about why we're making those decisions, maybe collaborating on some of the consequences, on like even with chores, like you have to do your chores, but let's collaborate on when and how are you going to make sure you get them done? Or what chores do you want to do? Let's, you know, talk about that. So there's a talking back and forth, but I like to think of it instead of control, like probably our parents, right? You know, just be quiet and do what I'm asking you to. Like instead of control, it's collaboration. But ultimately, we're setting those guidelines, and it's okay for us to have expectations of you're going to be within these parameters, but then we can talk about it within those parameters.
Yeah, we can talk about it. And my word is gold.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You know, but I love my daughter. We have the best relationship ever. You know, she's 34 years old and we still have to have that conversation where I have to tell her, do you remember who you're talking to? This is your mother. You know, but there's certain things that I don't go with, you know, like cursing. Mm-hmm. That's just me. It's a certain level of respect that you're going to carry with you out into the world.
Yes.
You know, hygiene. Some of these kids look like they haven't seen a shower in weeks. You know, I'm not going to tolerate things like that. You know, a lack of conversation, you know, locking yourself in your room and isolating yourself. These are a lot of signs that parents aren't paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And these kids get so compartmentalized in that device that they become isolated from the rest of the world. What would be some suggestions to help parents really work with their children to break that chain?
Mm-hmm. You mean the chain of electronics, like phones and
And just really disassociating yourself from the family and isolating yourself in your room and all that kind of stuff. How do you get into these kids' heads these days?
So there's one big change. And when we were younger, eventually you'd get bored in your bedroom, right? You'd leave because you have nothing to do. And now they've got devices where they can be in there for hours, as you and I can too, if we get sucked into it, right? We can just entertain ourselves. Yeah. So I think one of the things that's important, and you know, I talk to a lot of teens, and when they tell me why they disconnect, is when you have those moments to connect with your teen, what are you talking about? You know, are you constantly talking about the chores that aren't done? Are you talking about assignments and homework? Or are you connecting with them as a human being beyond the tasks at hand? Right. And so when that can happen, the teens will emerge a little bit more, you know, out of their bedrooms and have conversations. But if they're constantly being chastised, they're like, I'm going to avoid that person because I don't want to talk about that all the time.
Exactly. And then that's when they talk to grandma, because grandma always seems to be the cool one, you know, the parents. So now you have children that have gone through this. How do we start the building blocks to build their self-confidence, to build their trust?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you use the word trust, because I'm actually putting together like a 5-day challenge right now on trust and how important it is in conversations. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to be cognizant of the conversations that we're having with our kids, because trust isn't just about I'm saying the truth. Trust is also about they can trust you as a safe person, that you're not going to lose your cool all the time, or that they're not going to get like a calm parent one day and then the parent who's totally lost it the next day, so that they don't feel safe in having conversations with you. So part of that trust is knowing what they can expect when they talk to you. A calm parent who does set the guidelines for life, who's willing to listen, willing to validate emotions, and also willing to say, this is reality. This is what we're going to do. This is the expectation.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do we build confidence?
So confidence is about not being the helicopter parent, not being the snowplow parent, allowing our kids to make decisions and allowing them to make bad decisions even, and allowing them to make mistakes. So for us to give our kids the space to do that, and if they make mistakes, to be there to support them through it. Okay, what went wrong there? What are you going to do differently next time? And I believe in you that you can figure this out to make things right or to fix it, instead of us jumping in to fix it, because that completely undermines confidence. I talk to a lot of teens that will say, you know, I understand my mom wants to be there for me, but she always steps in and fixes everything. I don't think she thinks I can do it on my own. And I hear that from parents, I mean, from teens time and time again. It's like, I just want my mom or dad to just let me do it. Even if it's not perfect, just let me do it.
I know I learned a long time ago to reward for effort. If you see that your child, you know, has given their all, they've studied, they've buckled down, and they still don't get it, mm-hmm. there could be something else going on.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So you reward them for their effort because they tried. When mm-hmm. we talk about conflict resolution and bullying, you know, that's tough, because a lot of kids get in the situation. I'm always saying it. I say give them the 1-2, but, you know, but you have to teach them how to stand up for themselves. You have to mm-hmm. teach them to teach people how to treat them and establish boundaries.
Yes.
How do we begin that? And at what age? Each child is different, I know, because their mm-hmm. maturity level is different. The situations that they're going to run into is different. But how do we teach them how to start setting up boundaries?
Mm-hmm. It starts really young. Like you want, as they're having play dates, you can watch and see how they're establishing boundaries there. And so you can kind of step in, especially when they're little, and say, oh, do you want to share that? Or were you still playing with that? But then as they get older, you can have conversations. A lot of times what I like to do is talk about somebody else so that your kid doesn't put up their defense, right? So you can say, you know, I heard about this kid that was getting bullied, you know, at your school, what are some of the steps that they tell you to take? And so that you walk them through that, so that they know that there are options other than putting up their fists, right? Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, that is the go-to. You know, if you're being physically harmed and you can't get away, you got to defend yourself. But other than that, you know, there's the principal you can talk to, the counselor. There may be other people on staff that they can talk to, so that you have kind of this plan in place that they know what to do, what the steps are. And, you know, the thing about bullying is that if it's continual, like you have to help empower your kid to get them out of that cycle, because bullying is so disempowering. So if you, again, step in as a parent, I'm going to fix this, I'm, you know, going up to the school, I'm doing all this on my own, you're disempowering them again. So bring them along for the ride if you're going to help and intervene with bullying.
So we've got bullying, but we've also got peer pressure. Oh, you know, let's ditch school today and let's go smoke 20 joints and drink 20 beers and mm-hmm. have sex and all this kind of stuff. Okay, yeah. So that I think leads back into that conversation of trust.
Yeah.
You know, my mother was so cool. God bless her soul. She just passed a few months ago. But she was the coolest mom on the planet because she was like, okay, so what's the deal? You know, and I would tell her.
Yeah.
And I would say, Mom, you know, what do you think about this? Now, would I always follow what she said? No. But again, I'd bump my head and fall. But she was honest with me. Mm-hmm. She knew and I knew that if there was anybody in the world that I could ask a question to, that it would be my mother. How do kids, you know, when your parent discovers that you've been influenced by others, mm-hmm. what do we do? You know, like you said, we got to back up a little bit. We can't just go full throttle.
Right.
But what do we do in the interim? Because we're seeing our child spiraling out of control. But that's a part of the process, too. That's a part of growing up.
Right, right. Yeah, and we have to realize that peer pressure isn't because our kids don't know better or our kids are dumb or they're, you know, it's because they're kids. And the social aspect of being part of a group is so, so important, right? And that's why we see gang activity, because those kids need a place to belong. And so what we can do is to, you know, support our kids through this when they go off and do things that they know they shouldn't do. But instead of shaming them and saying, you're an awful person, why'd you do that? To have that calm conversation. You know, I know that you know that this isn't the right choice to make. You know, what was behind that? Like, why'd you make that? And if you have that calm conversation instead of, oh my God, like, I can't believe you did that. Like, you know, which is going to put them in defensive mode.
You sound so sweet when you said that. You didn't sound like some mothers I know. They got the swear words. I mean, they cussing, they are going.
Right. Yeah. And what happens if somebody cusses at you, you feel like you get smaller and smaller, or the opposite, right? You rage and you attack back. So you're not, as a parent, getting to where you want to go, which is connecting and influencing your child in a positive way.
Absolutely. You're a mother of three. Let's talk about sibling rivalry and the pecking order. You know,
oh boy.
I have a great guest that came on that one of her children has special needs. Mm-hmm. The other child is very independent. The middle child feels like they don't have any sense of belonging because the younger child needs so much more attention. And the oldest child is saying, you know what? I'm doing my own thing. As a parent, how do we slice and dice? We're only one person. And we have to look at each one of our children individually based upon their needs. But any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because you're right. If you have multiple children, what do you do? You know, it's not as easy to spend that one-on-one time to treat them as individuals. Sometimes you got to group them. But I think it is important to stay in touch with who each of your children is, which changes all the time, right? So that is really important. And remember that when you're deciding on your parenting techniques and your relationship with them, each relationship is an individual relationship. Now, having said that, if there is a sibling rivalry, you can certainly help to set boundaries and help them to set their own boundaries and set your expectations as a parent, but their relationships are their relationships. So we can't completely control them. All we can do is continue to guide them, set expectations and potentially consequences sometimes.
And submerge them in love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what it is. But also, parents, if you are in a relationship with your spouse and they're, you know, the significant other is there, extract those kids and show your spouse some love.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, you have to show your children by example what good love is.
Yes, absolutely.
What a relationship is. It's not violent. It's not, you know, excessive overuse of drugs. It's not running around. It's not isolating yourself. If you want them to mirror a good example, then you have to be the one that is the reflection in that mirror. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I hear a lot of parents ask me, like, I want my child to be like this, whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? But then I'll ask them, are you role modeling that? Is that how you're doing things? Like, they'll say, I want my child to do more self-care, to take care of themselves. I'm like, well, look at you. You're at your wit's end. You've got no energy. Like,
when the last time you took a shower, Mom?
Yeah. So, you know, they are watching us. They might not always be listening to us, but they are watching what we're doing. And it goes for our relationship. So what you're accepting in the relationship that you have with a significant other, or if you're dating, or, you know, in a marriage, your kids are learning those behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so we do have to really watch that and, you know, talk to your kids about it. If you are in the dating pool and you have this bad relationship, you can say, you know what? He was so disrespectful to me, and this is how, and I'm not accepting that. So we're not together anymore.
Absolutely. Blending a family. You know, a lot of blended families.
Yes. Yes.
We have a blended family and it works out wonderful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it took work.
Yeah.
There's a certain maturity level that the parents have to have, mm-hmm. but they also can't come in like the Gestapo on their stepchildren.
Yeah.
They have another mother, and you know, they'll throw that up in your face. You're not my mother. You're not
right.
my father. Okay, well, you know, this is what it is for the weekend.
All right.
So where do we start to introduce step-parenting and the fact that, you know, that they've already been traumatized, their parents have split up,
mm-hmm.
divorced, split up, whatever the situation may be. Maybe there's been an absent parent all along. But
yeah.
where do we start introducing that conversation to our children to let them know that it is okay, that I'm going to be there for you, that you can trust me, that I'm going to watch this other person around you, that you can feel safe? What kind of conversations do we have in blending a family?
I think there's a few. One is, as the parent, the biological parent, as you're saying, like, I'm here for you. I'm going to make sure you're safe. If you have any issues, come to me. You know, we can talk about it. You want them to know that they come first. So if there is, you know, tension that's going on, especially when it's a new relationship, you know, that the child knows, you can talk to me. You don't have to walk on eggshells. I'm here. The other, for the incoming parent, the step parent, the most important thing is to build a relationship with that child. So instead of all of a sudden coming in, as you're saying, and okay, now I'm here, I'm making the rules and, you know, all these things, like, that they ease into that. And if they love the person that they're starting this relationship with, then they're going to love the child too. And, you know, it's a balance. It also yeah. depends on the age in which, you know, the relationship is happening.
Right. And it's a soft sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the observer. I stood back, you know, but I made sure I was on one accord with my husband.
Yeah.
And that he knew that I was his wife.
Yes.
And I'm not your girlfriend, and I'm not their play date. But there was a conversation, ongoing conversation, because that parent also is concerned. They're afraid. Okay, I'm introducing someone into my child. There may be conflict with the other parent. They don't like what's going on. They're in their kid's ear saying a whole bunch of negative stuff, you know. So there's a constant battle back and forth.
Yeah.
But again, communication, talking, having family meetings, going out, having ice cream,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of these things are important. Talking to one another. I want to talk to you a little bit about sexuality. Big mm-hmm. thing now, you know, I talked to all my people about it. The kids don't want to be male or female. They're non-binary.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there are 52 different gender types. LGBTQ+, I think it's A now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the alphabet soup on love or humanity, really, you know, and I say that as a heterosexual woman, I feel like the minority now. The conversation is a lot different. Parents are fighting against this. There are a lot of children that are really identifying with, you know, being transgender or being gay at this point. Parents, listen to what Sherry's about to tell you, because I know you don't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
but you got to figure it out, because you don't want to isolate the child that you gave birth to. You don't want to make them your enemy. You don't want them to commit suicide. How do they address these issues, Sherry?
A lot of it is listening. Listening and being open to the person that your child is becoming.
And vodka. Vodka. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is confusing, because it is like you're saying, there's all these new labels. But the thing that is very interesting is that it's starting at a younger and younger age. that like fifth graders, sixth graders are feeling like they need to understand what their labels are, whether it's sexuality or it's gender, that they feel like they have to have it all figured out. So if we think we're confused, imagine being a fifth or sixth grader and saying, you have to figure out exactly who you're attracted to, and you have to figure out exactly what your gender is. Like, that's like, you know, before that, they're like, well, I know what my gender is. I know, you know, what I was born as, but there is so much more than that now. So we just have to listen. We don't have to understand it all, but we just have to roll with it and, you know, listen to what our kids need from us and want from us and move forward with that.
And understand sure that they're a whole person. Yeah.
Yeah. And it may change. Like, they're, as a sixth grader, a lot of sixth graders aren't even interested in sex yet, right? But yet they're supposed to label who they're interested in. And so it may change, and it probably will, between fifth grade, even like to 30. You probably know some people that didn't realize they were gay until they were 30.
Girl, today, you know? Was 65. Yeah, they didn't really realize, you know, that they were someone else, or, you know, desired something different.
Yes.
And yes, brains, you know, I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. Mm-mm. It's not easy, but life is not easy. Okay. Yeah. It's not a cookie cup. It's not cookie cutter, and there's no template. Okay. It is what it is. You got to deal with the hand you're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to do, like I said, is make sure that you don't isolate or shame your child by outside influences. What the folks at the church is saying, what the neighbors are saying, you know, I had an opportunity to meet Magic Johnson's non-binary child. I don't know what the pronoun is. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, EJ is one fine looking thing. Oh, yes. But, you know, as he says, I just, you know, I am who I am. And it was very difficult because Magic and Cookie, you know, Cookie hit it for Magic forever. And he was a strong, you know, NBA player. And he had to face his colleagues. And, you know, he was very macho and this, that. So it was very difficult for him. But again, I looked at it like, you have something very exotic.
Yeah.
You have something very unique. In my world, God makes no mistakes. He knows exactly mm-hmm. what he's doing. And to whom much is given, much is required. So you got to step back and you got to look at it and analyze it and say, hey, you know, this is my child and I'm going to defend my child. I'm going to love my child. I'm going to do the best by them. Or if you don't, you're no better than the world that they have to face.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the programs that you have and what your offerings are to parents and teens at this time.
So I'm always listening for what people need. So the latest program that I put together is called the MomWise Club, because I was noticing that parents were getting lost in adolescence. So, you know, especially when moms in particular, when their kids hit middle school, it's a whole different world and it's very isolating. Because when the kids are young, you can talk about nap time and diaper changes. But when you get to middle school, then you've got, you know, drugs, vaping, sex, all these things. So it gets way more difficult. So the MomWise Club is about supporting moms who are raising daughters in middle and high school. And yeah, it's a great group of women that we just, no judgment, no shame, nothing. We can just talk about stuff.
Well, you need somebody to talk to, because I'm mm-hmm. telling you, it will drive you bonkers. And try to get some sleep at night. You can't really, I mean, you just really can't control everything. You cannot drive the car from the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I really talk to parents a lot about not controlling, but connecting. That's what our goal is, right? Is to connect with our kids. And in that way, we can influence them, because we can't control them. But we can Absolutely. Definitely give our opinions, our guidance, our expectations, and help them along the way. But if we're just controlling them, they're going to be rebelling, whether it's in your face or it's, you know, on the sly. They're going to be doing their own thing.
There is. And one other thing I'd just like to speak to parents about is that I ask that you really are more vigilant in watching what your children are doing. Mm-hmm. There is an epidemic of child trafficking.
Yes.
And a lot of that, you know, I can't give you the percentage, but a lot of that is because they're being influenced by outsiders. Mm-hmm. They are being told certain things, rendezvous, promise this, promise that. Mm-hmm. The vulnerability of your child is being exposed. I'm having an argument with my mom and dad. They're always, you know, they're always doing this or, you know, one thing or another. So listen to your children. Watch them. Mm-hmm. You know, go to the school and just observe after school. Pick up their phone. Get their password. You know, there's no way in the world you could have any kind of device that I'm paying the bill for and you don't allow me access. Your door is locked. I will take the door off the hinges, baby. Oh, believe and trust. There will be no door, you know? And privacy. I understand privacy and respect. Mm-hmm. But again, why do you have to have so much of it?
Yeah.
So watch that. Watch their eating habits. Look in their eyes. You know, have a conversation with them. Slow it down. Everything doesn't have to go at warp speed, even though we're going towards 5D.
Yeah.
Our life doesn't have to go that way. And I tell you, Sherry, I thank you for working with this population, you know, because again, between the ages of about 8 and 14, 8 and 15, 16, they get lost in the shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're establishing themselves. Like you said, their body is changing, their mind's changing, peer pressure. They're going from elementary school to middle school to high school. It's a whole lot of stuff going on right there. So as parents, if we just kind of dial back and be good listeners, I think we'll survive. And with great people like you, sweet. Yep. Great people like you. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you to do more work with you.
So what I would love to offer your audience is TeenWise has an ebook on teens' love languages, because sometimes it's hard for us to show love to our teens, especially when they're giving us attitude, right? Mm-hmm. So they can go to tinyurl.com/TeenWiseLove.
Teen wise love. We're going to give these teens some wise love on the edge. Thank you so much, Sherry, for, again, like I said, doing what you do, continuing to do it because your kids are grown. But now, you know, the world needs you. And we're in a very delicate time right now. But we can make it through, right?
Yes, we can. We just got to stick together.
That's right. Brains, get off this podcast and go in there and check on your kids. Bye, Sherry.
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.